League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what a beatdown! Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I am Branham. It is a Wednesday edition of The Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5. Brian behind the glass. Busy show planned for you. Matt Miller will be joining us at 3:30. He's the best best NFL draft guy in the league outside of Lanzerla.
Thank you. Okay. I was a little
outside
worried
of Lance.
About
why thank you.
I was a little worried about
you're
going to
stand
like,
for Lance?
I was. I was talking to Lance pre-show.
What if I told you, I think Daniel Jeremiah is better than Lance?
That's your opinion. It's fine. He works with, and Lance
you
works
disagree?
With Daniel Jeremiah, so that's fine.
You going Lance or DJ?
I'm going Lance.
Okay. I'll go Matt Miller, DJ Lance.
Okay.
There you go. I said it. There's another Astro that needs to be booed. Cam Smith. Cam Smith was 0-for-3 today with a pair of strikeouts.
Yeah.
Roster watch 2025. Although I do feel like there's a better chance he makes the opening day roster today than, let's say, last Wednesday. McTaggart posted one of his lineouts, too. He hit the ball hard. Lots to get to today. It is a Wednesday edition of the Bees. I was talking to my friends. I actually have a couple of those. And they were wondering, this Laremy Tunsil trade, what would it take for it to go down as a worse trade than the DeAndre Hopkins trade when it's all said and done?
Oh, I think, see, with the picks, I think you can't hold that responsible in part, as it relates to the trade. I think it would just be the fact that, one, your line is worse than it was last year. Like, you made this move with the expectation that you're going to upgrade the line and get guys that play more the way you want them to play, whatever that may be, on and off the field and systematically. But that your line is at the same or worse, and Tunsil continues to be like top of the league, you know, in the All-Pro conversation and excels for Washington.
Yeah, I don't know what you mean by the picks there.
I said the picks are out of it. I mean, a lot of people, you know, with the Hopkins trade, it's like, well, you should have gotten a first. You got a second. You got David Johnson. He sucked. He was already, you know, well past his prime. And that trade, what, you know, after the Stephon Diggs was able to get a first, made that trade look bad no matter what. I think from the picks perspective, yeah, we talked about could you have gotten more? We don't know. But at the same time, I don't even look at the picks. If your line is worse than it was last year and Laremy Tunsil plays at a very, very high level for Washington for the next couple years, I think that people mm-hmm. will look at that as a very tough trade. As much as people, there's a lot of people that are happy that Laramie's gone, I think that if he excels and the line sucks for the Texans next year, that people are going to be pretty pissed off.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't really answer the question, I don't think.
Okay.
I feel like I'm having a little bit of trouble, like, understanding what you're saying. The picks have to be involved here. Like, the picks have to be as a part of the trade. Like, how you, especially, like, how you use those picks. Because, like, one of the big hangups on the DeAndre Hopkins trade was that you got, you know, less than what you thought you could in return, so there's a hangup on the return, and the entire return was built on picks. I know you got David Johnson, but he wasn't worth a bag of potato chips. The same thing with Laremy Tunsil. Like, when Laremy Tunsil was traded on Monday, it was about, well, what is the return? And the return was built on picks. So eliminating picks from the conversation to me is kind of
I
odd.
I meant what you
because
get
that's
out of
the
picks.
Return.
I meant, like, the players you okay. get from those picks. because
I got you. Like, I think that makes some sense too. Because, like, to me, it's more about the value of those picks than like actually like what you do to draft,
right,
and then like what comes into play. Like, fans will still use that, you know, for you or against you. But I do see where you're going, where it's more about the value of the pick versus who you ultimately pick.
Because, like, you always refer to with the Lions move, right? That you could have had a tight end and a running back. You could have had Gibbs. You could have had Laporta, and then you were like, or you could have had, you know, Will Anderson Jr. So you can relate to who was picked with that if you want to, but I just think it's what you got. The picks, yes, you can say that you maybe could have gotten more, but it's tough to say after the fact, those picks were used on these guys and maybe they didn't equate to anything.
Yeah, well, Gibbs, I say Gibbs because he went 12. Pick 12.
Mm-hmm.
I say Laporta because he was the first non-quarterback taken. I think what was the pick there that the Texans traded? Was it 32? I think it might have been 32. Because what was it, the first pick of the second round and somebody forfeited their first-round draft pick that year? I want to say Miami.
Dolphins,
so I think it was, I think it was 12-32. Now, the pick that you forgot to mention there was a future first. Mm-hmm. So it's Gibbs, Laporta, future first for what you basically traded for Will Anderson. And I think I'm okay with that trade now. Like, Will Anderson's really stinking good. He's one of your best players on one of the better defenses in the NFL. Certainly your best side of the football. So it was a lot to get, but it was a really good player that deserves a lot to get. Mm-hmm. The question, though, is could the Laremy Tunsil trade be viewed worse than the D-Hop trade when it's all said and done? So because the Laremy trade could look bad at the end of the day, that doesn't necessarily mean it's worse than the D-Hop trade. The hang-up that I have here is that I don't think that Tunsil has the popularity of DeAndre Hopkins to ever be viewed worse than the DeAndre Hopkins trade. So, like, even as we paint out a scenario that hopefully doesn't happen, that the Texans, they have the second and third. Maybe they don't trade up into the first round or draft a lineman this year with those surplus of picks. Casario picks that he acquired for Laremy Tunsil, he drafts poorly. He drafts Kenyon Green 2.0 and 3.0. Laremy Tunsil becomes an all-pro at left tackle. Like, that's worst-case scenario, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he just keeps the surplus of picks. He uses those picks. He drafts poorly. Laremy Tunsil's an all-pro. He's a really good football player for the next 5 years, and Washington's, like, this threat in the NFC. That is worst-case scenario. Is that worst-case scenario still a worse trade than how Houston Texans fans view DeAndre Hopkins?
No.
I think that, like, in reality it is, but I don't think the perception ever will be, and I think it's because of the popularity of the player when they left town. DeAndre Hopkins, whenever he was traded, was peak popularity. He was beloved in Houston. He was a lot of people's favorite player. Laremy Tunsil, half of the city does not like. So I think the popularity is the reason that even worst case scenario of the Laremy Tunsil trade, it will never reach the peak of angst in this city than the DeAndre Hopkins trade did.
Yeah, I would say no, simply because of the fact, too, on top of that, you're talking about a skill position player as opposed to a left tackle. And we know that the importance of the left tackle is immense in football, but for the average football fan, you're talking about a guy that at the time that they traded him was either the best or one of the very few best receivers in all of football, and you traded him away at maybe the peak of his career, and you didn't get enough in return, and you're right, and he was beloved, and it was by a regime that people already didn't like as well. So I think that all kind of factors in to where if Tunsil still continues to play like a top five left tackle in this league, it doesn't have the same impact. It just doesn't carry the same weight. So I would say that even if Tunsil continues to succeed and the line sucks and all the other things we talked about happen, I still think people will view the Hopkins trade worse.
I think you guys are on the right track here with the name ID and the sexiness of the position playing a heavy weight as far as what we regard as the worst trade. I would counter, though, like, if we look in, let's say, a year or two, and Laremy Tunsil's still playing an all-pro level, and we know the pressure that C.J. Stroud was under last year. He faced a pressure at a higher rate than Patrick Mahomes did in the Super Bowl. And we know what that did to the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. So in a scenario where whoever replaces Laremy Tunsil, specifically left tackle, or maybe even someone who's starting on the offensive line because they've reshuffled, then is so bad that C.J. Stroud gets hit and suffers a major injury, I think at that point, if we can go the Laremy Tunsil trade, directly, or at least perception-wise, directly led to a major injury to your franchise QB, then that trade for Laremy Tunsil will be viewed far worse than the D-Hop trade.
Yeah, maybe I didn't do worst-case scenario justice, because that would be worst-case scenario.
Like Titus Howard's seemingly your left tackle right now. He's obviously a capable left tackle, but if Titus Howard whiffs on somebody while playing left tackle, C.J. Stroud tears his ACL, then people are going to point like, well, that should have been Laremy Tunsil right there.
Yeah.
That is extremely dark. But yes.
I'm
dark,
just saying,
Brian.
Like, if we're playing out the scenarios, Wednesday. I mean, because, I mean, C.J. Stroud was beat up. We've seen it, and we saw it all last season. So if the pressure rate increases because they don't improve the offensive line with the money that they saved and the draft capital that they acquired in the move, and then C.J. Stroud gets hurt as in a direct relation to that, I think we're going to view this as a catastrophe.
Texter, I don't like Tunsil's lack of eyebrows. That's interesting. We don't care about how.
I get it. It's weird.
Do you? You've seen that? You've noticed that?
Yes, I didn't notice it, but it's like Charlie Villanueva.
Kind of. Yeah, kind of. Yeah, exactly. Charlie Villanueva is a good comparison.
Okay.
He's got eyebrows.
He does, but they're real thin and light. Like it's not as bad as Villanueva, but it does kind of blend
you
in.
Draw them in like some women do.
It kind of looks like a drawn in.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
In my opinion. Not that it matters,
going down
but
a Laremy Tunsil eyebrow
weird.
Thing.
Didn't envision yourself doing that.
It's interesting though, because like I just pulled up, like there's a picture of Tunsil at Ole Miss. His eyebrows are very pronounced and bushy, even.
So maybe this.
Like, I wonder
is a
if he's lost
thing.
It.
Maybe he's.
I wonder
trimming.
If it's either. I wonder if he either. I wonder. Well, he could have lost them, right? Because like he's older now.
I mean, he's 30.
It could be a fashion thing. Yeah, I mean, people go bald at 30.
Eyebrows?
With yeah, I see
eyebrows,
people
though?
Bald in high school. I mean, in there, what's the thing that Will Smith's wife has?
Alopecia?
What's that called?
Oh, alopecia, yeah.
Yeah, what if he has alopecia?
Oh, if he does,
Charlie
I'll retract my
has
statement.
Something like
yeah, that. You not only should retract it, but you should probably apologize, because it's kind of mean.
If that turns out to be true, but I'm fine right now.
Laremy Tunsil's significant other should slap you across the face like Will Smith slapped Chris Rock
that's
for
fair.
Making fun of her
that's
alopecia.
Fair. 53,
that's,
53
that's, I mean,
West
it's apple
Alabama.
For apple. Apple
slap
for apple.
With BMAC. Yeah,
that's what should happen. If Laremy Tunsil has alopecia, oh, if Laremy, if you have not left the city, we know that you love to be in my mentions. If you have not left the city, you're hearing us now, and you have alopecia, and Brian's making fun of that alopecia, not your significant other, you, Laremy Tunsil, on your way out of town, swing on by and slap Brian McDonald right across the face.
53,
it's insulting.
53
it's
West
mean.
Alabama.
It's rude.
I could take a punch.
Yeah.
Might just be
that
one.
That would be great for a
might just
no,
be one,
wow.
But
that's
I can take
on
it.
YouTube. That's on all
open-handed.
Of our channels and outlets. Absolutely.
Now he might jump, you know, before the snap and you know
exactly,
negate the play.
Exactly.
The
but Brian could get five
yards.
I was
going to say something. I forgot.
Alopecia.
Okay. I forgot what I was going to say. The brothers love Tunsil. Majority of y'all don't like him. Is that true? Is Laremy Tunsil more beloved in the minority community than he is the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant community?
Lamont is any example. I don't think so.
Yeah,
Lamont hates him.
I think. I mean,
I know we've had a few.
Lamont
other
has
callers.
A lot of. Lamont has a lot of opinions that are a little bit counter his race. If we're being completely honest.
Okay.
He
I
does.
Just, I
mean, it's just the it's a fact of the matter.
I don't. See, I don't know, because the thing that's really gotten to me because of just experiences, my own personal experiences as well around teams. I understand that everybody from the beat writers and the people that don't have a beat to cover, but they cover the team anyway, that are going to tell you that, hey, that he was a good dude, that the players liked him. It's not about the players liking him. There's plenty of guys that everybody else in the locker room likes, but they don't carry themselves professionally and otherwise when it comes to coaching staff and you know, game decisions and all the things that go with playing a professional sport that rubs everyone else the wrong way that leads people at a certain point in time to move on. So it's one thing to say, hey, you know what? The rest of the guys in the locker room loved him. He was a good dude. Great. But I think it's a bigger picture issue than just how he was perceived by his teammates.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can be well-liked in the locker room, but not a guy that the coaches want to pay top dollar to that's leading by example. Like, likable doesn't mean that you're, like, reliable. You know what I mean? Like, we've all had people – I don't want to just, like, start blasting people, but we've all had guys that we've worked with or ladies that we work with that are very likable. They're funny. They're people you like to be around, you like to kick it with.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't the dudes or the ladies that you want to go to war with for 3 hours. Like, we all know those people. There's people that I really enjoy, that I really like. That I wouldn't trust them with my life on their like in their hands. I wouldn't trust them if I have to hitch my wagon to their production and their effort and all of that. I wouldn't want to do that. But they're people that I love. You know what I mean? So being liked and being trusted are very different things. And trusted with really your profession are very different things. Like, who you want to kick it with and who you want to hitch your wagon to, completely different. 713-780-ESPN. Brian dropping that Addy thinking emoji. You ain't built like that. Grimace emoji. 713-780-ESPN. If you want to weigh in on the Laramie trade, could it be worse than D-Hop? What would it take to be worse than D-Hop? It's a better way to say that. If you want to, you know, break some news that, you know, why doesn't Laramie Tunsil have eyebrows, all of these things. But also what the reaction to this has been. Albert Breer of the Monday Morning Quarterback had a lot of interesting things to say. James Palmer, who's very well connected with Houston, had some things to say about this trade. Also, what clothes do you want your offensive line wearing? We kind of dabbled into that a little bit with, like, the fashion thing there. But think about this. What kind of clothes do you want your offensive lineman wearing? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I know what kind of vehicle I want to be driving, and that is a vehicle for Monument Chevrolet. It's March. Spring is on the way. And what that means is it's time for spring savings at Monument Chevrolet. It's a rite of passage. Get over to the dealership, 225 and Beltway 8. Check out their massive inventory. Monument Chevrolet is the dealer you can trust. Transparent, no hassle pricing. Get your car shopping done fast. Don't mess with all the hassle. Employee pricing going on right now too with their Silverado 1500s. That's right, you can get the Silverado 1500s right now at the prices the employees pay. You've been looking to get into that Silverado 1500, do it now at Monument Chevrolet. Monument Chevrolet has been serving the Houston area for 50 years, five decades in the business, and they've helped generations of families get into new vehicles, and these families keep coming back because they trust the fine people at Monument Chevrolet. And those fine people, it's been in the same family, the ownership, for those 50 years. One of the longest privately owned dealerships in the greater Houston area, and that's where they build their culture from. That's why they have that strong foundation. They hire good people as well to continue to build on that. Get a fair deal, a fast, easy transaction without wasting your time and aggravating stressful negotiations. One of the worst part of car buying. You don't have to do that with Monument Chevrolet. There's no tricks, no time wasting. If you've been wanting to upgrade your ride, now is the time to do it. And how about that Silverado 1500 employee pricing deal going on right now? Visit them online at monumentchevrolet.com. That's monumentchevrolet.com. Or better yet, visit them in person, 225 and Beltway 8 at Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
ESPN 97.5. You found the Killer Bees, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What kind of clothes do you want your offensive lineman wearing? Do you want him wearing, like, stuff you see in Paris on Fashion Week?
No.
Or do you want him wearing a little bit tougher clothing that, you know, like Tap Out or Affliction, stuff like that? Or maybe some skin-tight Wrangler jeans?
I was thinking more the Vince Wilfork approach of just some coveralls and a white tee.
With no shirt.
And a lunch pail and just Wilfork show up ready to work.
Wore no shirt under those overalls.
Okay, I said white tee.
That guy was ready to show up.
I'm trying to
work.
Keep it for the, you know, how they overpublicize everybody's walk into the building these days. At least for the PG audience, we'll put a t-shirt underneath it.
PG?
Yeah, I don't need a t-shirt. I don't need a t-shirt. I'm not trying to be PG on my offensive line. If the children and women need to cover their eyes when my offensive line is playing, that is a good offensive line. Like, that's part of the problem, I think. I think we had a PG offensive line.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying from the fact that everybody has their red carpets as these guys walk in, that, you know, for the children's sake, just let's have them at least throw a T-shirt under the coveralls.
Yeah, the coveralls is a good look. That's a good call. Like, you knew that Vince Wilfork was ready to show up for business. You know what I mean? Like, if you had some like $800 fashion shirt with like skinny jeans, okay, I think you might have a few holding penalties today. I think you might allow my quarterback to get hit a little bit today. I think you might jump offside or false start a little bit today. I think I'm onto something here. Like, we're about to have Matt Miller on here in 8 minutes. He's going to talk about bicep size and arm length and get off the ball and like waist size and like what their sports coat jacket size is. I think it's what they wear. I think that's how you should evaluate offensive linemen in the NFL when they leave college and make the leap to the pro ranks.
Yeah, I don't think that by any stretch of the imagination, not that I care all that much about what they wear, but my biggest thing is I don't want them to do Joe Burrow at Fashion Week with the backless tuxedo or the, what was it, when Diggs and Von Miller were with Buffalo and they have the commercial where they were both wearing the Fashion Week same colored leather outfit and hat. It's like, okay. But, yeah, my offensive
I think
lineman,
it speaks to your toughness. I think it speaks to your toughness.
I think if Aaron Donald wore,
I don't know, Joe Burrow's pretty tough.
Yeah, I think if Aaron Donald walked into the building wearing a fashion like a tailored suit, you still realize Aaron Donald's got all kinds of toughness.
Did he do that?
I didn't pay attention enough to find out what he did wearing to games.
Yeah, then you can't use it as evidence as to like support the case that it doesn't matter what you're wearing if we don't know what he wore. It's much different for like draft day. I'm talking about like throughout the week. Like, what are my offensive linemen wearing when they show up to work? Whenever they're taking the lady out for a nice dinner, what do they have on? You too, Keith. Linemen should be wearing Duluth jeans, T-shirts, boots, and carrying a lunch pail. That's what I'm talking about. Give me that guy. You know, I've dogged Titus Howard from time to time. You remember Titus Howard during the flood? He's driving around this big rig diesel, probably from Monument Chevrolet. That's my kind of offensive lineman. I want my offensive lineman driving a dually. I want him to drive. I want him to use diesel gasoline, not that unleaded stuff. I want him to have those things that come off the bottom of his truck. You know what I'm talking about. I just can't say it on the air, you know? You see them on the back of the pickup trucks where they're hanging down low and big? You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I do. On the trailer hitch?
I want my offensive lineman having those things hanging down his tailor hitch. That's what I want. I think Titus Howard does have those, by the way.
Who would be the most fashion conscious, like trenches type guy? Like, I can't even
probably
think.
Laramie.
Nah.
Laramie was very fashion conscious.
Laramie was very fashion forward.
Okay. Yeah, I don't recall many. Like, I'm even thinking about like pass rushers and everything. I don't recall a lot of guys that.
Well, you mentioned Von Miller, but I give him a pass. He almost single-handedly won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I bet you Von Miller drives a big truck.
JJ
Watt drives a big old
foundation
truck.
Foundation of love.
He's a chicken farmer.
Yeah. He went to A&L. He drives a truck. There's no doubt about
that.
Yep. Yeah, which is great nowadays with the way these chicken
prices
are going.
Evidently, yeah, with the price of eggs.
Yeah, they should have a pair of mountain oysters hanging down from their bumper. Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. You get me, Texter. They should wear the Letterman jacket. Okay, you just took it too far, Texter. We don't want anybody wearing Letterman. Diesel is not gasoline. Branham, get a stinking clue. You knew what I meant. I'm going through my ramble here. You knew exactly what I meant. Texter, I want my O-lineman dressed in jeans, a little worn out. Cut off sleeve shirt. If he has sleeves, it needs a pack of smokes rolled into them. Can of Copenhagen in the front pocket while having a big dip in all the time. Uncut facial hair, basically always looking like they just woke up. Aaron in Mid-County. I want Copenhagen in the back pocket. I want Zinn in the front.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, look, I want a guy that carries his lunch pail but in a brown paper bag. I get that. I want them to, you know, it's kind of like Jason Kelce. Jason Kelce was the kind of guy that was never going to be worried about what he was wearing and whether he was wearing coveralls or not, which he seems to wear more now. What they call it, the Italian tuxedo, the sweatsuit, whatever they've got to wear, but get to business.
My O-line better all be in triple X's or quadruple X's, big and talls. Dear Tunsil, I want to thank you for ruining Daniel's career. Let's see how many penalties you get now. Bye, Felicia. As a leader of the African-American delegation, we do not like Laramie. So that goes opposite of what that texter said a little bit earlier. All right, Matt Miller, best NFL draft guy in the business, joins us next. It is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Let's go straight out to the HRP guest line, being joined by Matt Miller at NFL Draft Scout on Twitter. Covers the NFL for ESPN, their draft analyst and insider. Matt, thanks for taking a few minutes hanging out with the Killer Bees. Texans have had a few big moves already early in free agency. What have you thought of these moves that Nick Caserio has made for the Houston Texans to date?
Well, questionable, guys. Thanks for having me on. I like some of it. I'm a little confused by others. I think notably the weakness of this team last year was the offensive line, especially the interior offensive line. I didn't think Kenyon Green was a building block by any means, but it was surprising to see he and Laremy Tunsil gone. I think there's going to be a lot that comes out as to why those moves were made. But when you have something that wasn't a strength, I think it is questionable to trade your best player on that group in Tunsil. But they obviously think that they can rebuild this thing on the fly. I like the addition of Lakin Tomlinson. He's solid, if not spectacular. He'll be a good one-year starter. I really like the idea of adding in a Christian Kirk with the, you know, uncertainty around Tank Dell and his injury future, certainly. And then, you know, this defense looks like it's going to be nasty. To add a C.J. Gardner-Johnson at safety, I loved Kalen Bullock coming out last year of USC. I had a first-round grade on him. To get him in the third round, I thought was a tremendous steal. Big-time Kamari Lassiter fan. And then, obviously, you know, Stingley Jr. is one of the best corners in the game. So it does feel like a team that's being built in D'Amico Ryan's image. And it's going to be a great defense. And I think an offense that they're putting a lot on C.J. Stroud to carry this group a little bit next year.
Matt, I'm curious from the standpoint now of where do we go from here and what do they do, as we all have been scratching our temple a little bit. When you look at the draft, when you look at the fact that you can let us know what you see, and we know that there are a few at the top of the list in terms of offensive linemen that are going to be available in the first round that Nick might have to trade up to get to. But then from the perspective of how they rebuild this line, you know, Nick's draft history, as well as he's hit on some of the guys that you mentioned and done really well with defensive backs and wide receivers, he hasn't been really had a lot that success rate with offensive linemen. So if they were going to look at the draft as the next step, because they've let a lot of free agents kind of pass by, where would they be looking in the draft, and can they get the kind of players they're looking for?
Yeah, this is not a great offensive line draft. I'll just be honest with you. It's not. And I think teams know that, and we've seen the way that guys like Jalen Moore and Dan Moore getting paid big-time starter money, even though they've not been premier starters in the NFL, shows us how teams feel about this offensive line class. At 25 overall, your hope is that someone somehow falls. You know, you're hoping that a guy like Josh Simmons from Ohio State, who missed half the season with a torn patella tendon and is still, at this point, not yet cleared, you're hoping that he falls and is then healthy, right? And I know they came out and said Titus Howard's going to play left tackle. Blake Fisher, who I liked a lot coming out last year, is going to play right tackle. So I'm not convinced that Josh Simmons would unseat either of those guys in year one coming off that injury. When you look at the interior, and we have to remember, Houston has four picks in the top 90, but they don't have a fourth-round pick. They don't have a sixth-round pick. So you're sitting there with just six draft picks. I think at some point you would probably love to add an offensive guard in round, maybe in round one. Maybe a guy like Tyler Booker or Gray Zabel would be there at 25 in round one. In round two, you're probably hoping for a Tate Ratledge from Georgia, who's a really good player. He's can step right in and play, battled injury a little bit this past year. He's a right guard coming out of Georgia. You're probably hoping that he's available. I don't know that we would see a draft where they would spend three of six picks on the offensive line, right? Because you still have some questions at wide receiver, even after adding a Christian Kirk. Diggs is a free agent out there. Braxton Berrios is going to be a good special teams guy. Justin Watson is an ideal, probably number four, but I think there still could be a situation where they look at the board, depending on what they know about Tank Dell's injury, and say, gosh, do we try to get a wide receiver in here? Do we try to, in a really deep class, do we try to grab a tight end at some point? So with limited draft capital in day three, at least, it does get kind of interesting of like, okay, they've handled a lot on defense in free agency already, and like you mentioned, with drafting well in the past, but it does feel like a team that's got some serious needs that have to get filled here without a lot of picks.
Matt Miller joining us on the HR&P guest line. You can follow him on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout. You mentioned a few of the offensive linemen, interior offensive linemen that could be available at 25 that makes sense. What about receivers that could be available there that you think fit what the Texans have put together?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. If you don't bring back Stephon Diggs, there's a guy in this draft who plays a lot like he did coming out of Maryland. That's Luther Burden, the third from Missouri. And there's a shot that he's going to be available in the mid-20s. I think we're all kind of waiting to see where that receiver run happens, because if you guys have noticed, we haven't seen a lot of movement on the free agent side of things with the wide receivers. And that does make me wonder, could teams pull these draftable receivers off the board a little bit earlier than we originally anticipated? But I think Luther Burden would be a great fit. I think Matthew Golden from Texas would be a great fit if you're looking at guys in round one who give you more of that speed, the big playability, a little bit more yards after catch. You have the X in Nico Collins, right? I think what you would love to add is more versatility, more yards after catch. You're getting some of that in Christian Kirk, obviously, but getting a young guy, I would look at Burden and Golden as the two best fits.
Matt, I'm curious. Lance Zierlein speaks highly of you and says hello, by the way. But I was talking to Lance, and I'm curious about you, because Lance is one of those guys that almost remembers every draft evaluation he's done on players. But when you look at the Texans' current offensive line, and you look at a guy like Green, and the fact that he came out in the first round, did you have him that high? Did you recall what you – and even a guy like Juice Scruggs, because talking to Lance and some other people, they're like, well, maybe the Texans reached a little bit, took him too soon. Yes, his versatility is nice, but what do you see of these two guys? Do you remember how you evaluated them?
Yeah, on Kenyon Green, I had a round two grade on him, which is, you know, where they were drafting him, it's about right, you know, as you expected him to be late first, early second. I thought it was a little bit of a reach at the time, but he was someone that, I mean, everything about him said he was going to become a good starter in the NFL, you know, pretty early, because he was, you know, offensive tackle coming out, had the frame, had the athletic ability, just kind of had a lot of penalties. And I thought he was a lot better at guard than he was at tackle, you know, and that was the big key for him. It's like that last year tackle wasn't as good. Go back, watch him at guard. It's phenomenal. So I'm really surprised with the trajectory of his career, because I thought by this point, you know, we've got a couple seasons in at this point. I really thought that we'd be talking about somebody that was a solid starter. If not, you know, I don't know that it was like he was ever going to be an all pro, but it's like, oh, he'll be pretty solid, you know, at least, because we have that good tape at guard. With Juice Scruggs, I had a third round grade on Juice Scruggs. I liked his pre-draft process quite a bit. So they got him at pick 31 in round two. So that grade was pretty, pretty close to where they actually drafted him. And I think with the center position, especially, like, you either draft starters pretty early. Very few teams draft a backup center. If you do, it's usually like in the seventh round. So with these center prospects, and it's even the case this year, we're going to see guys get drafted early, like Grace Abel, Jared Wilson. There's probably going to be a pretty sizable gap, and it's going to be because guys like Jake Majors from Texas are seen as maybe not that high-end prospect, but, you know, a really good number two. For Scruggs, the nice thing was that he had that guard-center versatility. He could play on either side. He was a team captain, like super highly spoken of. Just didn't quite have some of the hip looseness, flexibility, some of the agility that you normally look for as an interior player.
Being joined on the HR&P guest line by Matt Miller, NFL Draft Scout, do you think that Tytus Howard and Blake Fisher's enough at the tackle combo to be competitive in the NFL?
I think, man, it could be. And with Tytus Howard, is such a, I feel like he's still such a work in progress, even though he's been in the league since 2019, right? It's like he was such a piece of clay that needed molded. And I liked Blake Fisher a lot coming out last year. So, like, I'm intrigued, I think, by it, especially for Blake Fisher, more so than Tytus Howard. But, like, Blake could be a really good right tackle. That was the grade on him coming out, right? And so, man, we'll see. It's going to be fascinating. I think in the AFC, you know, you've got some really, really good pass rushers in that division, in that conference. A lot is going to be put on Tytus Howard early. And I think it's almost kind of smart to, like, force the issue, because if it doesn't work, well, then you know going into the 2026 draft that you got to get a tackle and you got to get one in the first round. You know, tackles are seldom found outside of the first round that become really, really good players. So I'm hopeful. And with Blake, you know, he was another young guy. You know, he only started 2 years at Notre Dame, and I think surprised some folks when he came out last year. So he's, you know, a guy that also just needs, you know, needs more reps, needs to see the field more. But I did think he was a starter coming out of there.
Matt, looking at this draft in totality now, because of the fact that we know it's not a big quarterback draft like drafts of the past, but as you analyze this draft and we get closer to draft day, where is the depth? We know that you mentioned that there's not a lot of, you know, quality 1A wide receivers out there like there was even a year or two ago. But at the same time, there's depth in the wide receiver position if you're looking for a 2 or a 3. Where else can we look at the Texans possibly looking in their later drafts, in their later rounds, to try and pick up some depth?
It's a great running back class. And I know, you know, Joe Mixon had a fantastic year last year. If you're wanting to add that number two back, this is the year to do it. I think we might see 30 running backs drafted. It's a great defensive tackle draft. We're going to have a ton of those guys come off the board in the top 100, 120 picks. I think last time I counted, I had 15 defensive tackles in my top 100. So it's just a really, really good group at those two positions. I like the tight end class. It's more so top end heavy. The top 6 or 7 guys are really good. And then there's kind of a little bit of a drop off. I'll tell you, the safety class has kind of snuck up on me. It's one that I've started to like a lot more as I get into some of those day three type players. And I know, obviously, you just got a really good strong safety in C.J. Gardner-Johnson. But should they decide to, you know, back end of the draft, fill that in a little bit, it is a good year to get a safety, I think, late in day three.
Last one, Matt, I'm going to put you on the spot. You might have answered it just earlier, but if the Texans were either trade up or trade down from 25, which one is it?
I think trade down. Just given, you don't really trade up, in my opinion, unless it's for a quarterback, unless it's like an incremental trade. You know, it just
or it's Will Anderson.
You're moving up one or two spots, right? So, or Will Anderson, exactly. So I would say trade back, especially in this draft where the talent level is pretty flat, right? I think the guy that you're going to have rated number 15 and the guy you're going to have rated number 35 are pretty darn close. So I think this is a year where it'd be more advantageous to slide back, pick up some extra picks, and the chances are the guy you were targeting is probably still going to be there.
Yeah. I wonder if everybody thinks like that, though, so it kind of ruins the market of trading down. Should be fascinating.
Usually
Matt,
does,
we
right?
appreciate yep. the time. Yeah, yeah. It's going to be fascinating because I've heard that, too, that it's flat. And if it's flat, you know, what does the market look like to trade down? And then all these value charts, I think, get screwed up.
Exactly. And it will be fascinating, you know, to see, do we see a super active draft because there's not consensus, or do we see a little bit of a quiet draft because everyone knows these players are graded out pretty similarly?
Well, Matt, we'll be watching your work as we lead up to the NFL draft. Appreciate you taking time and hope to catch up again as we get closer to the draft.
Sounds great. Thank you.
It's Matt Miller, who covers the NFL draft for ESPN. Does great. Best one in the country, I think. You know, he comes on our show more than Lance does. So mm-hmm. I play
that.
Favorites. Mm-hmm. I play favorites. Plus, Lance's brother likes to get on to me on Twitter, and I don't really like that. It makes me think lesser of the Zuerlein family. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP, listener line. Speaking of people who have kind of annoyed me, which is quite a bit, but Kyle Tucker. I'm ready to put Kyle Tucker in the boo him conversation, just like I've put Alex Bregman in that boo him conversation. 713-780-3776. It is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Branham, you have way too much stress in your life to be booing all of these players and talking poorly of all of these guys. You need to relax. And I'm going to whenever I go to Two Creeks Crossing Resorts. Why I'm so excited to be hanging out with Two Creeks Crossing. Because I'm ready to escape the rat race each weekend. I'm ready to get out of the stress of talking about players in the draft and, you know, all these twitchers and texters that like to get on our I'm going to escape all that. I'm going to put the phone down, going to turn off the computer, going to escape it all and head to Two Creeks Crossing Resort. You might be in that same mix than I am. You're tired of the emails, the calls, the boss calling you. I get it. Everybody gets it. Well, get away for the weekend. I have the best weekend idea, and that's Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. Escape the city. Escape the phone calls. Escape the text messages and enjoy the relaxing great outdoors. Book your stay at twocreekscrossingresort.com right now. Whether you like open green spaces, take a look at the beautiful wildlife they have there. If you like just the nature and the trees, the big majestic trees that they have there. Or if you like to fish. Do you like to fish? If you do, they have some of the best fishing in Texas. You can't beat it. It's just 90 minutes from Houston, too, so you don't have to spend all day traveling to get away. It's an hour and a half away. You can escape the city without traveling too far. Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. Hike their 92-acre property. Kayak. Play some pickleball. Or just hang out by the pool with a drink or two. Two Creeks Crossing Resort also loves to take care of their visitors. How about a crawfish boil one weekend, a barbecue cook-off on another weekend? You're always going to have a great time at Two Creeks Crossing. Pull up the RV. They have tree houses to rent, cabins, glamping. They have it all. They have the perfect stay for anyone. Book your weekend escape now at twocreekscrossingresort.com. That's twocreekscrossingresort.com.
ESPN 97.5. Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
I think Matthew Golden from Texas would be a great fit. From Texas.
He's a draft expert, not very familiar with guys played. That's sad. Matt Miller.
Boy, did he.
From Texas. Know,
B-Mac just lit.
No, he's from Texas. He's from Klein, Texas. Yeah, he went to Klein. He went to Klein Kane, I should say. So, yeah, he's from Texas. There's no argument there.
Texas full stop.
You're not cool enough to use that phrase.
Our beloved Coos!
Full stop. Wow. I think I'm going to spam this texter. he just says nonsense. This texter. That's the last position y'all trying to hold on to. It used to be quarterback, linebacker, defensive line, but the brothers down took over the majority of the NFL, 70%. I don't care about that.
Is that
you know what
bowl?
I care about whenever – you know what? I think I'm going to spam it. I'm going to spam them.
Well, there's a caller who calls in and makes that point about quarterbacks to John Lance.
Calling's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine to call because, I mean, he can call once a day. If he wants to call, you can call 713-780-3776. But he spams the inbox. He's like, boom, 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 boom. Like, it's like two words. Like, he texts two words, two more words. So he, like, sends, like, 18 texts to send, like, two sentences. And it just clogs it. Just clogs the text line. And it's nonsense. It's silly. Like, what do I care about when I watch the NFL? Like, what are my rooting interests? Is it to watch 90% of the guys in the league be white? Or is it that the Texans win football games and my fantasy football team wins? Whenever I draft my fantasy football teams, you know what I do? I try to win. I don't draft the white guys. Like, the reverse racism is weird to me. Like, I don't care about that. I want my teams to win. I want my fantasy football teams to make me money. That's it. Full stop.
I don't disagree at all. I hate the fact that we still have people trying to make too many things about race. And it's just about doing, especially doing what we do. It's never about race. It's about analyzing. And in this case, you know, just trying to find the best players for the job. And it's not about.
I just want to be goofy, really.
Huh?
I personally just want to be goofy and have fun. But what you said is also true. But I just want to add goofiness and fun and all the fun we're going to be having. But the spamming of that, man, it's just gonna report it to spam. That way, it doesn't show up in the inbox. Plus, it interferes with the real conversations we're having in there, which is bad.
He's taken over for our other guy who's kind of settled down. Who used to send us like 18 to 20 a day. So that's.
See, I was wondering if it was the same one.
No, the number's different for sure.
You think it's different?
Yeah.
Well, maybe the number. Phone. Maybe the
other
burner.
One I know the last four digits because I saw him, like I said, 20 times a day.
This texter says it's got to be Ryan Clark texting you. It's not a bad comp. It's not a bad comp, 1429. Maybe you got a burner just to text the Killer Bees.
Ryan Clark tiptoeing on some pretty little dangerous waters for him even. He went after LeBron, I think, yesterday or today.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't hear the LeBron thing. I'd like to listen to that. I'm ignorant to it, so I don't really have an opinion on it. Mm-hmm. The whole, like, Sean Payton thing, like, where he called him a thug and stuff, like, okay. Like, he's not the only coach who benches quarterbacks, man. Like, he's not the only coach who gets onto their QBs. Like, he's not a thug. because he benched a black quarterback. Like, come on now. Key from L.A., I hate it. If you're being racist into sports, you're just a goofball and probably racist also. I agree. I think there's reverse racism there. And I think there's racism. Like, it's obvious, right? Like, this country has had years and years of racism. Mm-hmm. That's why it has the undertones, and that absolutely exists. I'm not ignorant to that, and I'm not, like, ignoring that. But then there is also the reverse racism that has come into play as well. And I think the texter's on the line now. 713-780-3776. Israel, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up, Israel?
Yeah, well, I'm not spamming you, bro. And it's almost like a paragraph. So, you know, through, you just don't like what I was saying. Now, the thing is, what's racism is you're talking about how you dress. And if you, the way you present who you want, you know that's not the brother. And when it comes to, like, this prejudice, reverse racism, it's just a fact that at one time they said we couldn't play the quarterback position, and until recently we just took over that position. At one time they said we couldn't be the middle linebacker, but eventually we took over.
What if we ever said that wasn't the case, though? Like, Israel, you're right. Israel, you're right. Yes, that was – we're having a conversation. Israel, we're going to have a conversation. We're going to have a back and forth. Giving you an open invitation to call in. We can have the chat. And I'm happy to have it. I like whenever you call in. I think you have great points. We on this show have never suggested otherwise. That absolutely was something that did happen for a long time. You're 100% right. That's why Warren Moon played in the CFL, because nobody wanted to give him a job in the NFL. So you're 100% right. But it's not at all consistent with how the Killer Bees on this show have talked. So, like, you're coming after us whenever we have not have had we are not the ones that have had those opinions.
Okay, I wasn't coming. I was just stating a fact. At one time,
Israel, you texted 100 times to our show today, calling us racist.
100 times, only check. Now, see, you're always exaggerating.
It's a little bit of an exaggeration, but maybe 30.
But the thing about it is, the fact of the matter is that the way you describe, once he's going to, let's go to Tunzel. Now, he pissed me off as with his offside and did not want to practice. Okay, I can dig that. But the way he dressed, this is 2025. All the young brothers dress like that when they get it back. They're not going to be like a country white boy. That, you can just forget it. And if that's what, that's
I mean, Titus drives a big old truck.
They're
going to
get fired. That's it.
I mean, we were having fun with that. It wasn't that serious, Israel. And it really didn't have anything to do with race. Like, there's a lot of black guys that like fashion. There's a lot of white guys that like fashion. There's a lot of black guys that wear skin-tight Wranglers. There's a lot of white guys that wear skin-tight Wranglers. I don't think that it really was that race-specific, which kind of speaks to the point we're having here, Israel, that every single like we're talking Kyle Tucker here, you're going to make it about race. Like, every single segment that we have, you text in every time, multiple times, why I spammed you, and you make it about how the Killer Bees are, like, they have a certain opinion about, you know, blacks or minorities. Well, that's not the case. That has never been true. You bring up good points, like the NFL, you know, in the past, in the late 80s, early 90s, that, you know, there weren't going to be black quarterbacks, and Warren Moon was held out for a long time. And yes, that was true back then. That is no longer true. Some of my favorite quarterbacks are black. So, like, you bring that old opinion that existed in the past, and you make it like our opinions when that's not even remotely close to the truth.
I mean, look.
That's what gets me, Israel.
And the fact is that if we're talking about the coveralls, Vince Wilfork was the guy that we cited that wore the coveralls. And Vince Wilfork isn't the old country white boy. It's like when Israel goes off on Reed Shepard. We don't come back at him and say, now, is that racist? I mean, are you doing it because he's white? No, it's because we respect his opinion. He doesn't think Reed Shepard's going to turn out to be good. I happen to think that Reed Shepard's going to turn out to be just fine.
Yeah, and look, Israel, I like your sports takes. That's why it kind of annoys me, because I think you would be a good fixture to our show. Like, I want you to be. Whenever you call in, you make really good points that kind of make people think. I forget the Rockets thing that he said the other day. What was the Rockets thing he said the other day? They called us, and, like, you were, like, anti it, and I was like, I kind of see his side. I can't remember.
It was Reed
but
Shepard,
I think you have good sports takes.
We were talking about the former,
Reed.
Former
number, Reed.
And the number three picks in the draft, because Granato stirred him up, like saying he's not Michael Jordan.
Steve Kerr thing, all that. Like, yeah. I like your sports takes, Israel. Like, just, you know, maybe take it easy on us a little bit. I don't think you are who we think you are. I'm okay with our quarterback and receiver wearing tight jeans and carrying purses, Keith. Yeah, I don't know. Someone from the offensive line. Texture, I'm with Israel. Y'all gave I did. What Blankers didn't. He said y'all gave shutouts to Bel Air for making it to state, but give one shout-out to the black schools like Wheatley and Booker T. That was my bad. I dropped the ball there. I didn't know Wheatley and Booker T made the state championships. I knew Bel Air did because they beat Brennan from San Antonio because they have a Houston commit. That wasn't a black-white thing. That was a Houston versus non-Houston thing. But my bad. I dropped the ball. I'll own that one. You are talking about Vince Wilfork, who is in fact black. What is this guy talking about? Keith from L.A., I'm probably the most urban person who listens to y'all's show. That's a fact. On my end of the show is comical. We talk sports. It's fun. It's entertaining. Never racist. I think we have actually a minority listenership, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, being here for 3 years or whatever, and then having the run that I had at the Highway to Hell prior to that, and I've never been on cardiac arrest. Like, I've never worked there. I've only worked here, and I've worked at Highway to Hell. This station, I've learned, is far more diverse than Highway to Hell. And I love it. I love it because you get great conversation. You get a lot of differing opinions. You're not, like, hammered into one specific team. I love that aspect about it. So I believe, I feel pretty confident saying this, that our show and our listenership in the Hive is very diverse. And I take pride in that. And look, I'm half white, half Mexican. Like, we have fun with it. We, you know, joke around about it. Like, I am half white, half Mexican. Blankers has, like, a little bit of a tan. So, like, we're very diverse. Brian, he doesn't have anything going for him.
I'm married to a Mexican. I've said that.
I'm married to a lady from Michigan. I couldn't think of anything there.
A Youper.
Yeah, a Youper.
Yeah.
No,
yeah, but Israel, we're not against you, man. Like, we want to be with you. Let's be on the same team here, all right? Come on. You can call on whatever. And maybe I'll unspam you here someday. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's get into the Kyle Tucker conversation. A white man that I want booed. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, any man, if you're suffering hair loss, let me tell you that there is a solution. And it's a guy right here in the Med Center that can absolutely help you. Doc Linville and his staff right here in Houston's Med Center. They're waiting to help you with a variety of different things. Look, they can do a ton of things that help you and your family. Like, it could be they do spa treatments, they do Botox, they do plastic surgery. But the procedures I'm personally telling you about because I've had experience with are the Neograft procedure and PRP treatments because they get your hair back and they keep the hair that you have. They are phenomenal. It's not the gimmicks that don't work that you see on TV. It's real stuff with your real hair put where you need it most. And if you look at it in, like, lawn terms, the PRP is like fertilizing your lawn. You already have hair on your head, but you want it to be stronger and longer and thicker and like the way it was when you were in your heyday. Well, that's what PRP treatments can do. It's like fertilizing your lawn. And then it's like the resodding job is what I'm talking about when I start talking about the Neograft, because it's essentially taking hair from where you are never going to lose it. No matter how bald people get in other areas of their head, you never lose the hair on the sides and the back. Doc takes some of that, puts it where you need it most. In my case, it was my hairline in front. Some people have a bald spot up on top and back. Regardless, he solves the problem because the hair he's taking is from the sides and the back where it's never going to go away. He's putting it where you need it, and it's going to stay there for the rest of your life. Phenomenal, phenomenal stuff, all because Doc Linville wants to reach you guys, and he loves our listenership. Because you're listening to me, he will give you a free consultation like I had to go in and just hear about how they can help. If you just go to 975hair.com, you go to 975hair.com, sign up for a free consultation, and you go in, ask questions, get answers after they explain to you the Neograft and PRP treatments and see if it's something you might consider. I did it. I went to the consultation. It was extremely informative and interesting. I went home, talked about it with my wife. We decided it would be the right thing to do. I did it. Could not be happier that I did, and I got my hair back. You can do the same thing. Check them out today. Go to 975hair.com and tell them I sent you by. Sign up for the consultation. You will be glad you did.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.